Before I introduce our speaker this morning, I'd like to welcome those of you who may be worshiping with us this morning from different churches, different cities. Some of you have been attending the Joint Missions Conference in Richmond the past couple of days. And if you're part of the Joint Missions Conference and you're here with us, I'd like to welcome you to our church, Fraserlands. One of our speakers, one of the keynote speakers of this conference, and I would like to just say something about him now. One thing I want to say, though, is do you know how many churches would have died to have him here this morning? There literally are over 80, 90 churches that would have loved to have him here, so we're truly privileged to have him here. Dr. Philemon Choi graduated from the University of Manitoba in 1971 with a medical degree. Afterwards, he returned to Hong Kong and began his practice at Evangel Hospital. In 1973, he became the founder of Breakthrough, a magazine in Hong Kong that's developed now into a multimedia youth organization. Due to his deep concern for the youth, he left his practice and furthered his studies at Trinity International University and received his master's degree in counseling in 1977. Dr. Choi is a regular seminar speaker on matters related to youth among parents and teachers' associations, school services, and international conferences. In 1990, he was a keynote speaker for the Urbana Conference. He's also an author of several bestsellers and an active in community affairs. He's currently the president of the Youth Foundation and Youth Global Network, which is also associated with Breakthrough. Although Dr. Choi has honorary degrees from several universities and is a well-sought-after speaker worldwide, he will always be affectionately known to Deb and I as Philemon. You see, we've known Philemon for almost 40 years. If you're wondering, that's his handsome self about 40-odd years ago. In 1983, he was part of our college fellowship in Winnipeg as our retreat speaker. I remember that he spoke to us as youths, as 18, 19-year-olds, with great passion, with great conviction, with a great intimacy of the Lord. He took real interest in us as young people, and he encouraged us to love God, to pursue him wholeheartedly in our lives as well as in our careers. He's joined with us today with his son, Andrew, Suki, and his grandson, Wesley. Could you just kind of raise your hand, stand up so we can recognize you? So why don't you please join me, Fraserlands Church, in welcoming Dr. Philemon Choi to Fraserlands Church this morning.
Thank you, Pastor A, for the very warm welcome, and I'm so touched. And of course, I've been invited to this church by a letter, and I immediately respond, I will come. No, but very special because my son, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson is here, because my grandson will be studying at UBC. So please take good care of him. But he avoided my friends and his father's friends, so he is going to the Corona campus. He wants to have a quiet life. And of course, I'm so glad that some Winnipeggers are here. And of course, Yang and Stephen have been my best friends and also my mentor and throughout the years. And I'm so glad that you're here. Now, I'm so glad that I've been invited. And they give me a very important theme, the call of God, vocation, and mission. Now, I think this is the most important theme in everyone's life. There is a God, and he calls us into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, And that transforms our life and gives us a new life. But that's not the end of it. He further guides us into our vocation. Now, vocation is a very different word from career. Now, worldwide, they are training the young people in career development, finding their career path. But career is just a job. It's a profession. But vocation is a calling of God. You are called to be a teacher for the mission of God, not just for your own well-being or for the well-being of the students, more than that. So vocation is a very holy word. It's rooted in calling. It's a calling. So if you enter our marketplace with a sense of calling, you will make a difference to yourself and to the world around us. And of course, our vocation is rooted in the mission of God. It's not about your own mission statement. It's about the mission of God. And the mission of God is very well introduced in the Word of God. So it's not our mission, but the mission of God. So I think this theme is so important to everyone who follow Christ. Now, of course, time is limited, and I cannot cover such a very challenging theme in a short period. I think it would take you at least 1 year to study it, study the Word of God, and understand this from the biblical perspective, and then it will transform your life, because God's Word is transforming. And also the Holy Spirit will touch you as you read. You're not just reading a text. You are communicating with God, the Trinity who give you the mission, and the Holy Spirit who guide you into your vocation. Now, so please, and also I thank, this is my second worship service, and I was deeply moved. Now, the worship time. Now, although I don't know most of the songs that you sang, but I was touched. Just quote an example. The mercy of God is running after me. Wow. His grace, His mercy running after me. How can I respond? Surrender and give Him your all. I was touched. I was touched. And also I was touched by the young people who talk about their trip to Guatemala. Young. 7 years serving the people there. So I know this is a missional trip, missional church. Young people at the teenage, they capture the mission of God locally and globally. I was so deeply moved. 7 years. Not just hit and run. A lot of the mission trips are just hit and run. And so it's more for your enjoyment rather than for the mission of God. Now, and of course, I was touched when the pastors laid their hands and welcomed Katie into this community. So warm. So I know this is a communal church, a missional church. Now, so simple things like that. In the little worship, I was deeply moved. It's a special church. And also, you call yourself a church for all nations. Beautiful. Beautiful. A church is beyond ethnicity, beyond nationality. God is the God of all nations and all peoples. So beautiful. So I'm so glad. So fasten your seatbelt. I'll move very fast. And I know I will not be able to finish. And so forgive me. So it's not my fault because you give me a gigantic task, an impossible task. So fasten your seatbelts. But I will be introducing books and for you to follow up, okay? Now, okay, so first. Now, the call to mission of God. Now, so often I've seen churches and even individuals writing their own mission statement. Now, it's very popular that every company have a mission statement, which is good. From the mission statement, I know what kind of company this is. And from the mission statement that you write, I know what kind of person you are. But please, let our mission be rooted in the mission of God, right? It's not your mission. It's God's mission. Start from creation, from incarnation, from the cross, from the resurrection, and until the end times when Jesus will come again. Will come again. So it's from eternity to eternity. So it's beautiful. Now, in order to understand the mission of God, you can read some books. But the best book to go to, of course, is the Bible. 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. Now, of course, I deeply respect Dr. Christopher Wright, who's the mentee of Uncle John, John Stott. He went to the All Souls Church, and he was a member there. But John Stott mentored him, and also he became his mentee and received a lot of mission from God. Now, he came to Hong Kong quite often, and of course, and he spoke in the Chinese churches over the past few years. And he liked to talk about the mission of God. So one time he gave a long exposition on the mission of God. Then I discovered he's written a book which Christianity Today has chosen to be the most important Christian book of the year, The Mission of God. Now, why is this so special? Now, he's a biblical scholar, and he studied the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, on just one theme, the mission of God. Beautiful, beautiful. So often we are very fragmented in our thinking, and we are very segmented the way we read the Bible, not from the cover to cover. So I like books who study the Word of God with just one theme, and then you understand. When I was at Trinity, Dr. Walter Kaiser started writing a book called The Promise of God, and he finished that book. Genesis to Revelation. What do you mean by promise of God? And so I just quote a few examples, right? And also the city. The city, you see, the whole world is urbanized. It has to do with mission of God. And Dr. Ray Barkey wrote another book called Theology as Big as the City. Again, Genesis to Revelation. One theme. One theme. What God is doing in the cities. Okay. I talked to Dr. Chris Wright. I said, this book is too thick. 600 pages. I did the research. Hong Kong people read only books with 20 pages. So this book is not marketable in Hong Kong. I said, can you write a simpler book? He did. So he came up with a second book, Mission for God's People. It's not 20 pages, 200 pages. I tell you this because, as a Christian, you have to read and study and pray with the book of God, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. You can do it. You see, with system, you can do it through the Bible. At least 3 years, you can go through it, cover to cover. But most people in Hong Kong read only one chapter, Psalm 23. Well, which is very good. you can still keep yourself alive with Psalm 23. Right? He's my shepherd. Very good. But you become so narrow. You are only a Christian with one psalm. So I beg of you, because in Hong Kong, young people, they don't read. They go on the web. And on the web, the longest they will read is about less than 200 words. So it's very fragmented. And also, a recent study in Hong Kong, a lot of young people have web addiction. Addiction. So nothing wrong with going on the web, but the web, 90% garbage. Very seductive, very violent, very self-centered. So we have a web that should the next generation, no wonder the next generation don't come to church anymore. In Hong Kong, they became a Christian, then they are lost. In Canada, I talked to the president of Acadia Seminary. He was in Hong Kong. I share my depression. I said, in Hong Kong, a lot of young people, they gave up and they accepted the Lord in the evangelist meeting, but they are not coming to the church anymore. We have statistics. Hong Kong churches are losing the next generation. Then you know what he said? Canada, the same. We are not only losing the young people, we are losing the adults. Most Canadian churches, attendance has been dropping and dropping and dropping. Canada, oh Canada. I love Canada because I was here at Winnipeg, 1964, and there I met a group of Christians who met every day and pray every week three times. Pray for the fellowship, pray for the church, pray for the fountain, which is intended to speak to students, fellow students around Canada and United States. There I discover a new journey of my life. And so in one of the conferences, I gave my life and I said, I want to live for Jesus. And that's the theme song of our WCCF, Winnipeg Chinese Christian Church. And now I have probed a little further, not just live for Jesus, but live like Jesus. That's very important. You are ransomed by God, created by God, and saved by God. And so, living for Jesus and fulfilling the mission of God should be our mission statement. But in order to fulfill it, you don't just do something, you be something. So live for Jesus, but the deeper level is to live like Jesus by the grace of God. Now, so with that, I have already covered this book, only the book cover. So this is to entice you to study this, or you want a shorter version, study Mission for God's People, only 200 pages. Now, several churches in Hong Kong are doing that. They have Bible study group, and they study not this book, they study the Mission for God's, for God's People. It will transform your church. It will transform your church. Then you see the mission of God. It's not just a weekly gathering. Hello, is that better? No, it's not better. Okay. I'll try to stick with this. Okay, can you hear me? Okay, good. Now where was I? You see, so you distracted me. So I encourage you to do Bible study. But actually, the mission of God and the mission for God's people is 100% based on the Bible. So you have to someone to guide you and to understand as an individual the mission of God. And it's a church. You see, as a church, you cannot fulfill the mission of God alone. You have to be communal with the local church. So this is very good. Now, so I don't have the time to go through it, but I'll touch on some passages, which are very important. Now, this is very good. Now, we have read it just now. And of course, I like Eugene Peterson's translation because he just passed away. I deeply grateful to him. He has written us about 60 books. And each book is a treasure. And so my wife, Ellen, told me to write a thank you letter to him. I didn't. When he passed away, I did. I wrote a long letter of gratitude to his wife. I said, his writing has touched me so deeply. And so this is his translation. And of course, he has a book that cover to cover called The Jesus Way. From Genesis to Revelation, what is Jesus' way? How did Jesus live? And how did Jesus fulfill the mission of God? Genesis to Revelation. I have repeated this many times. Please study the Word of God. Touched by the Word of God. Genesis to Revelation. Now, so here it says, very important, because we're living in a world that is crazy. In the 20th century, now even some scholars who teach theology proclaim God is dead. I was so troubled. How can you as a theologian proclaim God is dead? Because in those ages, they believe in certain so-called giants. One of them is Charles Darwin, right? Origin of Species. And they said, we have discovered how we come about. Lie. Because when I enter university, I study zoology. And I have to study origin of species. Zoology. Lie. He said, of course, I discover certain patterns between different species. There must be some kind of relation. So he postulate, only postulation, there must be some kind of mutation, so there's an evolution. And then finally, he said, we discover there is relation between all creation. But you know, the final chapter of Origin of Species never publicized. You know what he said there? He said, I don't know about the origin of species. How come this world, nothing becomes something, and some dead species become alive, and all? I don't know. And he said this in his own words. There is a creator. I don't know who he is, but there's a creator. I don't pretend to be a scientist. I only postulate. It's only hypothesis. And we propagate this book and worship this book. So out of it, a lot of atheisms, communisms are based on this book. Shame. Shame. You know what? How God created the world? There was chaos, chapter 1. Why chaos? Dr. Francis Schaeffer came to Hong Kong and he gave a lecture before the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is not the beginning. What happened before the beginning? There's war among the angels. And then the angels fallen. Satan created his own domain, his own empire. So there was chaos. And there are angels who followed the Lord, and there are angels who battle against the world. Chaos. Total chaos. So God said, I will make some sense out of this chaos. So he created the universe according to his power and to his grand design. I use this word grand design because all people, including scientists, they discover this world, the universe, have a grand design in a human being. You see, just now we read it, red cells, so many red cells are produced every year. Because when I was in the medical school, one of my professors, a very good hematologist, Dr. Israel, he wrote one book, 300 pages, The Red Cell. Just reading through that book, blow your mind off. We have to be humble when you bow down and study even one red cell. You see the creation of God. Creation of God. So the first 6 days, how did God create? He speaks. And all being, all universe come into being because his power. He's the creator. Triune God work together to make it happen. But on the sixth day, very important day. They, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit did something different. He said, this is special. So he did not speak us into being. You know what he did? He took soil from the earth. So we are created. Soil to soil, he created. He made us with his own hands, so gentle, so personal. But the most intimate place come when finally he made this beautiful Adam. He has chosen to intimately blow his spirit through the nostrils, and man become a spiritual being with God's spirit. In the biblical language, this air is the same word as spirit. God blew it. So his own spirit enter our spirit, enter ours, and we become a spiritual being, a spiritual being. So that's the way he made human beings. You see, you have to respect that. So when you read another verse, we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the name of another book written by a medical doctor. Fearfully and wonderfully made. He carefully described the different organs and how we were created as human beings. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Of course, that is in Psalm chapter 139. David said that. I fearfully and wonderfully. So I finally discovered who I am. And he repented from his sins. And he rediscovered his vocation. That's a very transforming psalm. Psalm 119. So let us make human beings, you know, make them reflecting our nature. Reflect God's nature. So by God's grace, by God's word, by God's spirit, we can live out this godly nature. Because there's a human nature within us. The two are in battle every day inside, your human nature and God's nature. You see, live for Christians, who lives in you? Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So he's part of you already, but then there's still the sinful nature. Your old self is still there. Satan still attack you. So even within your inner world, there's a daily battle going on every day. But don't forget, God make us, and he promised he will make us to reflect his nature. So we'll be responsible. We are created to be a responsible, ethical being. Responsible. Is it right that we should be responsible to the one who created us? Should we be responsible to parents who gave birth to us and respect them and be responsible, right? So much more our Creator, more than our parents. Responsible for what? For the fish in the sea, for the birds in the air, for the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth, right? God created human beings. He created them God-like, reflecting God's nature. Do you know? The world is looking for some people who are different, have a different life, a different goal, a different calling. Do you know? So here we are, by God's grace, live his nature and be responsible. And that is why when Dr. Chris Wright wrote his book, he said, God has a mandate. He called it creation mandate and cultural mandate. I'll talk about cultural mandate later on. Creation mandate. God's creation, we should love creation. But for generations, we destroy it. We exploit it. For the sake of oil, we destroy the earth and we spoil it. So the 21st century, one of the crises is ecological crisis. Global warming. The only person in the world who doesn't believe in global warming happened to be a gentleman called Donald Trump. He said, I don't believe in this. Are you blind? Right? Who are you? You know, with all respect, I don't understand this gentleman. You know, We are responsible. You see, Chris Wulai is not someone who talks. Finally, together with some scientists, he formed a new organization called Creation Care. He gathered Christians around the world to care for all creation. Beautiful. Beautiful. And here I reintroduce another book. I like books because books inspire me. A very intellectual person being coined as one of the most important intellectuals in the 21st century. He has written one book, Jordan Peterson, called 12 Rules for Life. Beautiful, well written, very scholarly, and very down to earth. And in chapter 12, he talked about caring for the animals. And that book, that chapter called Take Care of the Cat in the Street. The way you treat a cat in the street reflects the kind of person you are. Right? Kick them. Right? Sometimes, wow, so dirty. We Chinese call it Wu Zhou Mao. Dirty cat. Kick. You know, respect. Even that cat walking in the streets without a master. The way you treat a cat reflect the kind of person you are. You see, so beautiful people, beautiful book. So another book. Actually, it's my son who introduced this book to me, remember? One of your friends introduced this book, and I searched for it. Wow! And I've introduced this book. And not only that, he had a lot of debate with some atheists, etc. Very, very touching. And he always stick to the Word of God. As a Christian, he become a very important thinker and culture making. Okay, so he created them male and female. God blessed them. So male and female, prosper and reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, and be responsible for the fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of earth. God created us, male and female. One crisis in the 21st century, how do you define male? How do you define female? How do you define marriage? God saved Canada. And now I've written a long letter to my grandson. I only reminded him, you are blessed and you are committed, you have been baptized in the Lord, and you have a very good school, but beware of two things. Make sure you go into the right toilet. Right? Now, you can walk into any toilet. You see, today you can be male and you walk in there. And the next day you go in, today I feel I'm a female. And then you walk in there. Not only toilet, even bathrooms. I have read stories of people, ladies in the dorm. How come you walk in? How come you walk in? You went to the wrong bathroom. He said, today I feel I'm a woman. Wow. LGBTQ. Now, it's not LGBTQ. National Geographic put out a special edition. There are 50 choices of sexuality. You can imagine. I read through it, I don't understand it. It's all based on your feeling. It's how you feel. And it's what you want. But God created us, every single cell is XX or XY. Everyone's reproductive system is totally different, right? In every cell, there's maleness and femaleness. God created us unique. So let us not forget about that. And also prosper and reproduce, right? Right? And also take charge, be responsible. If you listen to God and so be careful how you live, how you date, how you get married, how you reproduce for the Lord, for the mission of God. So there's creation mandate and cultural mandate. Cultural mandate, what do you mean? He said, take charge. I hold you responsible for the living beings, for the way we live. Culture is the way you live. So we are responsible. So creation mandate, creation care, cultural mandate. We make cultures. Don't submit to culture. Andy Crouch wrote a book called Creating Culture, and he challenged Christians not only to submit or counter culture, so you're opposed to it, but create culture according to God's word, according to God's will. That's when breakthrough comes out, we try to tackle culture. We want to lead the young people to Christ, but we publish magazines and we talk about culture. And we publish books and we talk about culture. And we have radio program. And of course, my son has to make a movie talking about culture. And because of that movie, he's banned from a lot of places. The movie is called 10 Years. It's talking about Hong Kong young people's culture, what they fear, five areas they fear. So you have to understand the culture of young people. Why are they fearful? Why are they depressed? Why are they addicted? You, in order to serve them, you have to understand them. And also, you have to change their life and change their culture, because the culture shapes them. It's a global culture. And of course, with 5G, and there's a new era coming in. Huawei is already into investigating, researching on the 6G. And 6G integrated with artificial intelligence, the whole world will be turned upside down. And that's culture. That's culture, right? So you cannot just ban Huawei. It's irreversible. So the world is moving ahead, which is good. But it's depending how you use artificial intelligence, how you use the web, how you use 5G, how you use 6G, right? It becomes part of your life, right? And you are just addicted to it and not transforming it. So that's why I said the mission of God is not just about converting lives and bring them to Christ, which is important. That's the way they live, the culture they imparted them, and the creation that sustained them. And we are destroying creation, and we are violating culture and damaging the cultures of the world. God forgive. So another part that I wrote to my grandson, he's sitting here, so he knows every word I wrote, said, don't take marijuana. Scientific. It damages your brain. It's addictive. And I asked the people here, you have an alcohol check for those car accidents. Do you check marijuana? There are more accidents caused by marijuana than alcohol. Police technology is not up to date. He said, you blow into it, we can only detect alcohol. We have not yet used modern technology to detect marijuana. So it's part of your everyday life. The way you drive, the way you got hit, right? That is culture. That's culture. So when we talk about mission of God, don't forget about the creation mandate and the cultural mandate, right? Is that right? It's not what I said. It's in the Bible and expounded by some very intelligent and faithful biblical scholar. Okay, I have to move on. Do I still have time? Huh? Okay, 5 minutes grace. Okay, now it's okay. I know I cannot finish. It's not my fault, it's your fault. You give me a such a topic, you know. You asked me to do it within 40 minutes. I try, you know. I try very hard. But you know I cannot finish. Okay, this is important. Now, of course, we like the Great Commission because Jesus Christ, he was crucified, and on the cross, he redeemed us, but he resurrected. After resurrection, he met his disciples, and then he said, wait, I will be ascending to heaven. Gather together and listen to my word, last word. Okay, that's what he said. Okay, and people gather. The apostles gather, and some believers gather, not too many of them, but they gather and listen to Jesus before his ascension. Okay, and this is what he said. I will be quick, okay? Jesus, undeterred, he know he is leaving, and he trusts his apostles and his disciples. And he went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. So it's from God the Father, and it's a commission. It's sending you to fulfill God's mission. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I like Eugene Peterson's translation, train, making disciples. Baptism is not just the baptism, it's training them. You see, the original intention of the word is training. Making disciples is training. Training involves time and care and love. And also, in this way of life, marking them. You see, in training, by God's word, by the Spirit, you are transforming the way of life, the way they live, the way they study, the way they write their own mission statement, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. And I will be with you as you do this day after day, and right to the end of age. When Dr. Chris Wright was in Hong Kong, he was invited by the Hong Kong Baptist Church, Cane Road Baptist Church, to give a sermon on the Great Commission. And I went there and he listened. Now, of course, I cannot repeat, but I just draw attention to this line that he said. Then instruct me in the practice of all I have commanded you. Are we instructing them in all that God has commanded? Cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. I have repeated this many times. We cannot just draw from the Bible what we like. You have to listen and obey and be instructed cover to cover. God's word will transform you. God's Spirit will transform you. And God's Spirit will send you to fulfill the mission of God. And you will discover your vocation. Scientifically, we have multiple intelligence, 9 kinds. We have different vocational aptitudes, at least 6 kinds. We have different personalities, 16 or more kinds. You are very special. And I don't have the time to go to the next passage, okay? And I just read the title. Okay, Marvel Dawn. He's written many books, but the latest books is always about community. And this book is translated into Chinese called 群體見真章, truly community. He said, how come the church is a gathering and not a community? And community starts from what? Here's what I want you to do, God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Do you know? Everything. 将身体献上当作活祭, a living sacrifice. Everything you do in, all everything, your whole life, put it on the altar every day. Every day, the way you live, the way you sleep, reflects who you are. And place it before God as an offering, daily offering. Let him renew you every day. And embracing him. And also, again, Don't be so, well, adjusted to culture that you fit into it. I don't read this anymore. Culture, counterculture, and create culture. I don't have time. And then here, again in Romans, he said, in speaking to you, deep gratitude what God has given to you, and especially as I have responsibility in relation to you, living then as everyone as you does in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing the goodness of God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is what God is and by what he does for us. God sent us the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know a person by the fruit. Does he bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You know the kind of person he is. And he gives us power. He gives us power. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's power. We don't fulfill God's mission by our own power. And there is God's gifts. Each one is gifted differently. So your vocation is related to your intelligence, to your vocational aptitude, and to the gifts. For those who teach, let them teach. For those who care, let them care. I don't have time to go into it. So discover who you are. Discover your vocation. Discover your gifts. And then as a community, we serve the people in the church and beyond Guatemala. And we have all nations in Canada, all ethnicities, because I don't know why people like to immigrate to Canada up till now because it's still free. But I sense it's tightening up in a lot of ways. God save Canada. Let our leaders be godly and rooted in the Word of God. So we have all nations, all ethnicities, just around us, even within this community. You look at it. You look at it. You don't have to go to Guatemala. Of course, I'd like you to go. So our calling is local and global. But if you don't care about your family, you don't care about your co-workers in the marketplace, you don't care for those around you, just going to a mission trip is hypocritical. So you love those, your neighbors. So God's mission is local and global. It all starts from your family, from the marketplace, from your community, and then the world, because the world is dying to hear the Word of God. So thank you. I overrun without apology. God forgive me. I tried. I tried very hard, believe me. And I still only cover a little bit of the topic. God bless you. God willing, I'll see you again. God bless you.